With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's, if I can get this freed, welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Monday now, the 24th of November. So we've had one of those weeks last week, which was a very significant increase in volatility. There we go. Very significant increase in volatility. A lot of forced breakouts, unfortunately, from our perspective. And when we get a trading week like this, we had 3 weekdays, 2 bullish days, where we took out very significant highs and lows. So really quite a challenging week. You could probably extend that towards the end of the previous week as well. And when we experience market conditions like this, it's important that we kind of zoom out and we make sure we don't do any kind of revenge trading or if you take a series of losing trades, you want to make sure that the sum total of those losses don't add up to double digit losses, which is an important feature. When you lose, you want to try and lose small rather than lose big. And there's been a lot of big losers in these markets over the last couple of weeks, without a shadow of a doubt. And there's, I suppose there is some important conclusions that we can draw. And I suppose the whole fear and anxiety in these markets seems to be liquidity driven. So potential in certain areas, issues and concerns around liquidity, whether it's the AI story, whether it's kind of a return on investment, nerves around return on capital expenditure, which is massive outlays. Will they get that back? And but the liquidity is the real driver. And this is where the whole market seems to be looking at the Fed as to whether they're going to cut rates or not. And that's been gyrating quite aggressively. Now, we had a little bit of a positive finish on Friday, and it looks like we've gapped significantly higher again today. So we're in a precarious position, you could say, for these markets. And it's up to us to make sure that we do our analysis. So at least that if we do identify a good trading opportunity, a high probability trading opportunity, then we want to be able to trade it for all the right reasons. And last week was one of those weeks where we kind of got caught up in the volatility and the fact that these markets made, you know, very significant moves before reversing very, very aggressively, and it did it on a number of occasions. So hopefully we won't run into another week like that, but you never know, and we've got to be mindful of that as well. So so the whole idea of the session, as you know, is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities, with some important events this week as well to be mindful of. So let's go through that then. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you're all keeping well. You had a good weekend. Just as a quick introduction, then all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So we adopted that sort of sniper approach last week. It didn't particularly pay off, but at least we didn't throw lots of additional trades into these markets that we were sort of cherry picking certain opportunities at certain times. So once you've determined which markets to trade, it's then about where do you enter and exit? How do you manage risk, of course, prior to entry? Make sure you keep those risk levels low. That's where we're at the moment. That's how we adapt to the market conditions, by keeping our exposure levels conservative, low, trade frequencies right down, trade sizes controlled, stop losses generally bigger because of liquidity. So there's lots of these decisions that can be made outside of your deciding to trade, the execution part of the trade, and it's around that ability to manage and control your exposure. Trade management, unfortunately, we didn't have one opportunity to manage a trade last week before those trades reversed quite aggressively. And forced breakouts are unfortunately an occupational hazard, but very rarely would we get sort of five or six false breakouts almost back to back with the wild swings that we've seen. So didn't get any kind of follow through, nothing to mitigate risk, nothing to take risk off the table. And I suppose from our perspective, unfortunately, we just get weeks like this sometimes, and very frustrating, very annoying. But it's important that we don't try and revenge trade now. It's important that we just look for the next opportunity and take that opportunity based on its merits. And trade psychology. So it's very important that we discuss, you know, the upside of trading markets, but also the downside of trading markets and the markets that prove quite difficult and challenging. You know, you can't hide from it. It's not something you can escape from. And actually, there's a lot to be learned during periods of increased volatility. And especially due to liquidity, because liquidity is one of those significant issues, and we're seeing it playing out in Bitcoin with the AI trade, with the concern around certain companies going bankrupt. You've got the reverse repo credit facility from the Fed, which can get some out of this liquidity squeeze that we're seeing. And then you've got, of course, the overall interest rates, which is improving liquidity conditions if you lower rates. Now, there's a few question marks over whether that'll be the case. But just to let you know, just regarding these features and the psychology of trading is very, very important. We address every day in our live trade rooms, of course. And we are strong advocates of being consistent in our approach. We'll certainly fine tune and adapt our exposure levels and trade frequency levels and stop losses and pip exposures and all those types of important things to suit the market conditions. But we'll maintain a high degree of consistency, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So with all this in mind, one of the very significant and important features behind this market, which is causing this market to range very, very aggressively, is what the Fed will do on the 10th of December. And as we know, over the last, let's say 12 days prior to the FOMC, we had this at 80-20, 80% chance of a rate cut. And that rolled all the way down. Quite unusual to see this level of sort of indecision. All the way down to 30-70, 29-71 really at one point. And now we've reversed back to the upside. So we've kind of always maintained that we're probably likely to get a 25 basis rate cut. I think it's too small of a rate cut not to deliver it. And it would provide a nice timely boost to job numbers that are not horrendous, and they're not as bad as the Fed was suggesting 3 months ago when they were sounding the alarm. The government shutdown's a big structural problem for these markets because we're flying blind to a certain degree. We won't get I think jobs and inflation numbers for November, I believe, for the month of October. So we're going to be missing some data, and that's going to be a bit of a problem. And we get an update on that this week in terms of scheduling and timing for these events. Now you can see with the CME FedWatch tool is that the likelihood of the Fed cutting 25 basis points has now increased from 29% at the lows last week to 69%. So that we're back now to 70-30. So actually, all in all, the chances of a rate cut have decreased ever so slightly, but we've just been through a bit of a wild swing to the downside and now back to the upside. So let's go and have a look at the news flow. It's probably worth just taking a little step back to Friday. We had an important latter part of the week with the FOMC meeting minutes. And then we had the non-farm payroll numbers for actually September. Very significant increase in the unemployment change number and a nice improvement in the unemployment claims. So these numbers are actually going down. However, the unemployment rate is finding a way in which it's increasing along with the decrease in wages. So very much a mixed bag, but you could see why the markets sort of panicked quite aggressively. Now, the pivot that we saw on that particular Thursday didn't really have much to do with non-farm payroll. It seemed to be a liquidity event. And concerns around the AI story, it appears. So really quite a difficult set of conditions last week. And then we finished the week with manufacturing and services PMI numbers. You can see the US numbers down here seem to be performing well. Services are seeing significant growth. Consumer sentiment numbers are a little bit higher than what these are revised numbers, and inflation expectations are coming back a little bit lower. These are sort of 12-month out expectations. So even the surveys are getting revised. So everything's getting revised. Job numbers, inflation numbers, surveys. So I don't know how they can't collate the information and distribute it correctly. We've heard from Christine Lagarde. We've had some FOMC members as well last week, all sort of positioning themselves around, you know, the potential for either a pause or a rate cut. Like Mirren is wanting a 50 basis point rate cut again in December. And we've got Barr, Jefferson and Logan that are taking up slightly different positions. But you can see with the CME FedWatch tool that that we're seeing that swing to the downside now, or to the increased likelihood of a rate cut. So we've been really seeing some very aggressive price action. Bank holiday in Canada in Japan today, of course, just to be mindful of over the course of the Asian session. We'll be hearing from Christine Lagarde again. Nothing of any massive interest for us. And now we're going to get a little bit of an update on these numbers. We've got PPI numbers, we've got retail sales in there coming out of the US. Consumer confidence. We'll hear from the RBNZ on the early hours of Wednesday morning, expecting a 25 basis point rate cut. We've got unemployment claims. So for the UK economy, we've got the important autumn forecast statement. So that's going to be a really important feature for markets, especially around the British pound. We'll be looking very carefully at the gilts market, the government bond market, and seeing if the bond markets agree or disagree with the positioning by the Labour government around taxation and expenditure. It's going to be quite an interesting one. We're going to get some further analysis on that over the next couple of days. So it might lend itself to some significant moves for the pound and by default then the FTSE. So one to keep an eye out for. Core PCE is got some tentative news events on Wednesday as well with the GDP number. So these are tentative numbers. Let's see if we get those. We've got the Beige Book on Wednesday. So that's more of a regional breakdown of how the US economy is performing. Is it performing well? Is it showing signs of weakness? I'm sure it's a low impact news event, but I'm sure it'll have, let's say, a concerning impact as well. It's also worth noting on Thursday, it's a bank holiday in the US, of course, for Thanksgiving with Black Friday on Friday. Massive day for shopping. And again, that's impacting the consumer. We'll see the numbers. Is it a positive or a negative? Has Black Friday been a roaring success like we've seen in previous years?
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
Or is it, the consumer being pinched a little bit? So we shall find out. We've got German prelim numbers, which is looking quite negative. Canadian GDP. All right. So look, just to summarize, there's a few important potential data points this week. A lot of it is backward looking at numbers for September and October because of the government shutdown. So we get a little bit of breakdown on those things as things unfold. So let's bring up our charts then. So when we have periods like we've seen, the dollar seems to be in the process of fairly significant strength under the circumstances. Now we've had pockets of really strong and massive risk off. This was the very significant reversal we saw on Thursday, where we were looking like we were bouncing off these lows. We rallied quite aggressively, and then the sell trade kicked in very, very aggressively back down to really strong support levels. Exact same for the Nasdaq. But since then, since the close on Thursday night, we've actually reversed quite aggressively, and we've retraced probably 50% of the risk on the trade. But we're seeing that increased volatility. Our bias is certainly to the downside for US oil. We're seeing certainly weakness across the energy market at the moment. And we're beginning to see this very significant dollar strength trade play out. And you look at gold, and these are 4-hour candlesticks. We're in a kind of a long-term sideways moving pattern. So we almost want to just understand what kind of phase these markets are in. Let's have a look at the euro dollar on the daily. So look, we'll do some summary. So look, we're trading at the monthly lows, just trading above and below. We've got this descending level. we're in a tough spot regarding the dollar. And despite all the volatility we saw last week, we actually saw things like the US bond markets actually lower rather than rally because of the concern. So we've actually seen these numbers not just stay put like they have been for the last few months, of very, very little, very sort of range bound. We're actually seeing bond yields begin to allow the Fed to be able to cut again. And as a result, you see the CME Fed Watch tool swing back to the upside in terms of a rate cut. So it's important to watch these things. And really, we want to try and get on side with the information that we're being given. And that's what makes the dollar trade a little bit counterintuitive, because we're seeing bond yields rolling over to the downside. We're seeing very significant liquidity concerns around things like cryptocurrency markets and people exiting positions. And you wonder, why would they want to be exiting those positions? Do they need to finance, other areas? That may be the case. So look, we've got unfortunately, a bit of a question mark around the dollar. And this is the pound going into the autumn statement. We could easily get a strong breakout of these lows if the markets like the autumn statement from Rachel Reeves. And if it doesn't, I think we can't discount the fact that we could get these markets selling off quite aggressively. We know what happened during Liz Truss, where the pound was down at these lows, 103, 102 level against the dollar. We were down at the 103. Now we're up at the 130. So there is, not saying the wheels will come off the pound, but it could do. It really depends on the decisions that are made. So the markets are waiting patiently, really, to see what we're going to get from the UK. And we'll be watching those bond yields very, very carefully. The NASDAQ and the S&P, we've kind of closed the gaps. We've rolled over. We've looked really quite bearish. And we've run into these really strong support levels. So we can look to see, is there an opportunity to kind of build? In which case, we should sort of break the highs of Friday's highs, and we'll get further momentum up to the 50 period moving average, because we're pretty range bound really between the 50 and the 100 for the S&P and NASDAQ. So again, we're in a precarious position. Further downside for US oil, it appears, despite things like the Russian, a couple of Russian tankers were held up by US military. Russia's shadow fleet. So there's a bit of less oil creeping into the system, which may have a very mild bullish aspect to these markets. And we didn't get any kind of positive or bullish response whatsoever. So we're in quite a difficult spot. And I guess it's not too surprising to know and understand that the markets are a little bit tentative, really, after last week. And across most of these markets, there's probably equal likelihood for prices to rebound and rally versus selling off and continuing to sell off. So we can really get moves in both directions. So you've got the 58.16, and we're currently below those levels. You've got the 57.84, which is where we're currently at. It's quite a tight stop loss. Now, a lot of these markets do seem to be somewhat sleepy. The yen is a very, very interesting dynamic because we've got a government and central bank that appear to prefer to stimulate the Japanese economy continuously. However, that is offset a little bit by the potential for intervention by the Bank of Japan, which means the if the carry trade rallies too aggressively, you're going to get the Bank of Japan coming in to buy the yen very, very aggressively. Something similar to like what we saw last summer, which was they were able to drive the value of the dollar yen from the 160 down to the 140 pretty much. So not in insignificant play. Plus you've got the fiscal measures. The new Prime Minister of Japan is wanting to fiscally stimulate the Japanese economy. Now, it's been doing it for 30 years, and there was, I suppose, an appreciation that maybe the Japanese economy will normalize. But now we've got this new Japanese, and now it's pivoted again to really that carry trade, which is really about yen weakness. You will get some wild swings there. So gold is pretty sideways, and we've got a bearish view on US oil. So last Friday, we've always been sort of maintained a degree of concern around around the market conditions, still broadly mixed. We've got bond markets which are staying out of any kind of market panic. It seems to be more liquidity driven within cryptocurrency markets, fear and anxiety around the AI trades, and that's really dragging the S&P and the NASDAQ very much lower. But we definitely had a bit of a risk off environment Friday morning, and that pivoted as well over the course of the trading day. And it's due to fears and anxieties around the AI story and US non-farm payroll numbers and Fed rate cuts. So it's a liquidity story. Non-farm payroll pretty much sort of cancelled itself out. It's not a massive problem for the Fed as things currently stand. So we were looking at further US indice weakness below those support levels, and we got a very significant bounce above them. Potential dollar weakness. We've only really seen dollar strength. So we've got one one signal really, and that's to keep all options open. Keep all options open today. Right, we've got a bit of risk on due to sort of a bit of positivity coming from those FOMC members about a Fed rate cut. A little bit of a bounce in the indices as a result. So we really have mixed market conditions. Could lean into yeah, we could keep a close eye on that potential risk on trade. So we've got broad-based mixed market dynamics with the potential for some risk on due to fears and anxieties around the AI story. around liquidity, the AI story, and Fed rate cuts. Right, keeping those options open really is pretty much where we're at for now. So keep all options open until we get more clarity. That's an important feature. We just don't really have the clarity in terms of what our direction of bias should be across the board. We got so many more questions than we do have answers at the moment. So it's probably not a bad idea to get that on track. Yes, we've got a bit of a dovish Fed now again. We've kind of been swinging over the last week from quite a dovish Fed to really, really hawkish Fed back to a dovish Fed again. So risk on. Indices potentially higher. We're still waiting for the dollar to swing and to show us a little bit of dollar weakness, but we're not getting it. We are getting weakness in the bond markets, which is creating a bit of market anxiety, you could say. And commodities are certainly looking a little bit more weaker than they are. So we've really got a mixed bag, and I suppose that's really the take home. So look, it just looks like it could be another one of those days. And let's just give these markets a little bit of time to sort of demonstrate a little bit more clarity on things. So that's where we're at. On that note, guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there momentarily. So if you can join us for that, brilliant. We'll see you then. Right, listen, thanks everyone for joining us. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.